pick up the authorized version of the Scriptures in front of you in the pew and turn to the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel at the chapter 26. And we're going to read from verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, that is our Lord Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And God shall stamp with his own divine seal of approval and blessing this reading from his very own infallible book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. These Lord's Day evenings, I have been preaching a series of messages on the backsliding and denial of Christ by Peter the Apostle. I've called them the weakest link, the hottest seat, but the gravest conversion. And we have dealt so far with our Lord exposed. was a weak link. On three occasions, the Lord and Peter entered into controversy. And on each occasion, Peter was shown to be the weakest link. We come now to the hottest seat. And we come to the narrative and story of dark Gethsemane. On the way to Gethsemane, there was a conversation between our Lord and His disciples. If you take your Bible, open it at the Gospel of Matthew, you shall find there in verse 31 what happened on the way to Gethsemane. Verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, that is, in the upper room, where the Passover was heard, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And as they were going to Gethsemane, which is situated at the foot of the Mount of Olives, Jesus said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. The Lord made it clear in crystal clear language that Peter was going to deny him, that all the disciples were going to forsake him. And he was going from Gethsemane alone to go to the cross alone, to suffer, bleed, and die alone for sinful men and women. And these disciples, led by Peter, said, "No, not so. Even if I have to die tonight, I will not deny thee." How hard of heart and how bitter of soul can people be when the Lord takes a dealing with them and tries to show them the absolute rottenness of their sinful heart, their need of divine redemption and salvation, and the indwelling within them of the Holy Spirit to give them power to do what they should do. And then we come to Gethsemane. And what words of mine could describe dark Gethsemane? I remember John Hart's great hymn, "Come all ye chosen saints of God that long to feel the cleansing blood, in pensive pleasure join with me to sing of dark Gethsemane." Gethsemane, the olive press, and why so called, let Christians guess. Fit name, fit place, where vengeance strove and gripped and grappled hard with love. 'Twas here the Lord of life appeared and sighed and groaned and prayed and feared, bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. The powers of hell united pressed and squeezed his heart and bruised his breast. What dreadful conflicts raged within when sweat and blood forced through the skin. Dispatched from heaven, an angel stood, amazed to find him bathed in blood, adored by angels and obeyed, but lower now than angels made. He stood to strengthen, not to fight. Justice exacts its utmost might. This victim vengeance will pursue. He undertook and must go through. Three favored servants left not far were bid to wait and watch the war. But Christ withdrawn, watch what watch we keep to shun the sight. They sank in sleep. Backwards and forwards thrice he ran, as if he sought some help from man, or wished at least they would condole, 'twas all they could, his tortured soul. Whate'er he sought for, there was none. Our captain fought the field alone. Soon as the chief to battle led, that moment every soldier fled. Mysterious conflict, dark disguise, hid from all creatures' peering eyes. Angels astonished viewed the scene, and wondered yet what all could mean. O Mount of Olives, sacred grove, O garden, scene of tragic love, what bitter herbs thy beds produce, how rank their scent, how harsh their juice. Rare virtues now these herbs contain, the Savior sucked out all their being. My mouth with these of conscience cram, I'd eat upon this paschal lamb. O Kedron, gloomy brook, how foul thy black polluted waters flow. No tongue can tell, but some can taste the filth that into thee was cast. In Eden's garden there was food of every kind for man while good, but banished thence we fly to thee, O garden of Gethsemane. John Hart knew something of the mystery of this garden and the miracle of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. When they come to the garden, Christ says to three men, Peter, James, and John, I want you to come and watch with me. Peter, you've told me that you will die for me. Peter, you have told me that you will never, ever deny me. Peter, I'm just asking for one thing. I want you to watch for 1 hour. For 60 minutes, Peter, I want you to watch with me. And it says that they sat down. They sat down. That was the hottest seat There are four passages of Scripture you need to read about this dark Gethsemane. The 26th chapter of Matthew, the 14th chapter of Mark, the 22nd chapter of Luke, and the 18th chapter of John's Gospel. And they tell the whole story. And what a story it is. Jesus Christ leaves these three men together and he says, watch, or you'll enter into temptation. And then we read something. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face. Can you see him? The blessed Son of God. And he leaves these three men to watch with him. And he goes a little farther, described in one of the Gospels, about a stone's throw. That's an interesting expression, isn't it? He was going to the place where the stone was to be thrown. He alone was to feel the bitterness of death and the agony for sin. Sinners in the Old Testament were stoned to death for their crime. Jesus went a stone's throw away. Marvelous description. The Holy Spirit knows what he was doing when he wrote this Bible. For this Bible is a book of divine unities. No contradictions in the book. The same one holy penman, the Holy Ghost, wrote every word of it. And then he falls on his knees and he prays. Look with me at verse 39 of Matthew chapter 26. And he says, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Please note what he prayed. It is very important. He did not pray for himself. He did not pray the same as the second prayer in verse 42. He prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What was this cup? Some people tell us it was the cup of death. It was nothing of the sort. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came to die. He never avoided the cross. He always said his hour had not yet come. It says that he pushed forward to the cross. He said as fierce as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Well, what was this cup? Ah, my friend. We have to go deeper to discover what this cup was. You see, Christ as our substitute could will himself to die for you and for me. There is nothing unworthy. There is no sin in him wishing to die and being willing to die for sinners. But in order that he die for sinners, he has to go out of the presence of God. To go out of the presence of God is to sin. remember, Cain went out from the presence of God. Judas went out and it was night. And Christ dare not will. He dare not will to go outside the Father's presence. For then he'd be willing himself to sin. And so he said to the Father, "Yes, Father, I'm going to drink the cup of death. But this cup of going outside your presence, I dare not, as thy holy Son, will myself to go outside thy presence." So he says, "Father, if it be possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But, oh, Father, not as I will, but as thou wilt." God could take his Son and drive his Son out of his presence because he was your substitute. And there was no sin in that. That was a justification and vindication of God's holiness. But the blessed Son couldn't of himself wish to go outside the Father's presence. This was the anguish that tore the Lord's soul. The real anguish. And if you want to know what anguish it was, go and stand at Calvary and hear a cry. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He must drink this cup. He comes back again. What are the disciples doing? They're sleeping. Here was a scene that no other human eye could see but these three men. They were divinely appointed to witness our Lord in his agony. And they had boasted that they would never deny him. But instead they wouldn't even watch with him 1 hour. And he comes back and he finds them asleep. And he addresses one of them. He does not say, "John, why are you sleeping?" He does not say, "Andrew, why are you sleeping?" He says, "Peter, you've been doing a lot of boasting, Peter." And if you read the other Gospels, they were here sitting asleep. They were in the hottest seat, and they were sitting asleep. And he said to Peter, "What? Peter, you're the man that said you wouldn't deny me. You're the man who said you would die for me this night. I didn't ask you to die, Peter. I asked you to watch, that you might see what agony I must bear to save your sinful soul." And then he went a second time and prayed, and his prayer was changed the second time. He said, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done." Between the offering of the first prayer and the coming back, God had revealed to his Son that the cup of separation must be drunk, that he must go out into the darkness of eternal hell and taste in his body and in his human souls the concentrated hell and judgment of every one of his people who believe in him. He was to bear it all on that cross of shame. Man said to me once, "I don't understand how Christ in 3 hours could endure the hell and the judgment of a great multitude of people whose no man can number." I said, "No, because you have no understanding of eternity. Out there in the darkness, Jesus Christ stepped out of time into eternity and bore eternal judgment for you and me. Oh, the wonder of it. And he drank that cup to its very dregs, as we shall see in a moment or two as we go forward in this particular message. And then he cometh back to his disciples, having prayed the second prayer twice. He now knows that he is going to take this cup. And he says to his disciples, "You needn't waken up now." Alas, many Christians awake too late, and they don't come to the help of the Lord against the mighty. What a sad thing it is that you, my friend, the child of God, should sleep too long and miss the wonderful fellowship of Christ in the battle for souls. Sleep on now and take your rest. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. He that is at hand doth betray me. Oh, how miserably they feel. And then we come a little farther down the chapter to the swordsmanship. First of all, in this chapter, you have the sleep of Peter. Then you have the swordsmanship of Peter. And Peter draws a sword. And he's not a good swordsman. He wanted to take the head off this man, and he only took his ear off. That's not good swordsmanship. Here was the man that boasted he would die for Christ. He draws a sword, and he cuts off the servant's ear. And the Lord said to that man without an ear, the earless servant, he said, "Don't hinder me." And he touched the ear, and the earache was gone, and the ear was back in place. A miracle in the garden. Sometime, perhaps, we'll have time to understand why it was the ear that was cut off. And why the last miracle God did on earth, Jesus Christ did on earth before he suffered, was the miracle of healing that ear. Because the gospel of Christ has to do with the ear. You get saved when you hear. How are men saved? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And every saved person among the elect of God are all like this servant Malchus. God touches your ear. And when God touches your ear, you hear and your soul doth live. The day God touched my ear, it was in the 29th day of May 932, God touched my ear, and I heard, praise God, and my soul did live. When you hear, your soul lives. Hear, and your soul shall live. But that's only a digression, and I don't go any further along that line, or will not get to the heart of this message. We're not going to get very far, much farther now. The time has fled. But I want you to notice he drew the sword. What did the Lord say to Peter? Here's another rebuke. 52. Peter, if you had been listening to my praying, you would have never drawn your sword. But you failed. You went to sleep. Put up again thy sword into his place. For all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Peter, don't you think I need your swordsmanship? For you're no good at it anyway. I can call a legion. I can call 12 legions of angels. 10,000 angels will obey me. But I'm not calling on them. I'm going to drink this cup for sinners. I'm going out into the darkness, Peter, in order that you might be saved. And now shall the scriptures be fulfilled. What did Peter do? Did he say, Lord, I'm standing beside you. I'll die with you. If they take you, they take me. If they imprison you, they imprison me. If they crucify you, they crucify me. No. Not what does it say in verse 56? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. An hour before, for this incident was 60 minutes, the Lord said, watch with me for 1 hour. And after an hour had passed, all the courage of Peter had fled from him. And he ran away, the man that was going to die with Jesus, and who would never deny his Lord. Peter, on the hottest seat. The next Sabbath night we will come back to this and look at another seat. He sat in the garden, and then he went into Pilate's judgment hall, and he sat at a fire, and he warmed himself at the devil's fire. Sitting, Peter, in the hottest seat. He has failed Christ yet again. He has given the lie to his announcement of loyalty. And yet, my friend, Peter tonight is in heaven. Because the grace of God is greater than man's sin. And the power of God is greater than the power of sin. And the love of God, hallelujah, is greater than all the power of sin. And amidst it all, Christ loved Peter. And he said, when you're converted, you'll strengthen your brethren. And so he did. So there is grace, my every debt to pay. There's blood, my every sin to wash away. There's power to keep me spotless day by day in Christ for me. May God bless his word for Jesus' sake.